This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Rotatoes! Did you know that over on the Patreon, we are currently wrapping up the world of Amalar. We are completing Arc 14, which has so many incredible people in it. Like, the most incredible people. You have Victoria Longwell, Devin Field, Jacob Oisaki, Zach Oyama, Abria Iyengar, Caldwell Tanner, Justin Michaels, Marisha Strickland. There's probably another one which I'm maybe not going to ruin because I don't think that that'll be out by the time this is out. And I'm trying to do some maths in my head, but there's more. There's more people. So please go ahead and check it out. I have been putting everything into this last arc to try and send Amalar off in a really fun and satisfying and fulfilling way. So I really hope that you'll check it out and I really hope that you enjoy it. And if you go over to the Patreon right now, you get the episodes in full. You don't have to listen to ads and the episodes are all there and available for you right now. So go check out Arc 14 on the Patreon. But without any further ado, let's get into this week's episode. Take it away, pal Zach.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast. We are here for the third episode of Arc 10. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Was a two-shot, now a three-shot. Now, this is a full arc, baby. You can't really do an arc with two. That's just a personal feeling. Don't know if that's true. Don't correct me. I don't need that in my life. But enough about me. Let's get on with our... our rotators of this arc. To my left, we have returning for his third arc, closing out his third arc right now. Possibly, I wonder if you have been in the most episodes or second most episodes. We have Dan Lippert, aka Sago Gleg. Dan, how does that news hit you?
Honored, impressed by me.
By yourself?
A little bit of pressure. Feels like, can you live up to that?
Yeah.
You know?
Pressured by yourself?
Yeah. Okay. Like, have I earned that honor? And if not, how do I get there? And I guess pride, joy, shame.
Any others?
That's all.
Okay. I'm trying to think of any, if I have any others. No, I don't.
Full bladder.
Full bladder. You just beat.
And you just gave me another soda.
True. I can't argue with that. Moving along, we have finishing his first arc on his first ever mini campaign. We have Ryan Rosenberg, a.k.a. Strundleteet.
Hello, Strundleteet here.
Ryan, snap out of character for a moment.
I was so deep.
Ryan. I see that this arc has fully consumed you. You've really let D&D take over.
I have the horns, I have the clothes, everything.
Looking at you right now, you look like a guy in Game of Thrones who's, you know, lives at the wall or something.
Yeah.
Who has horns.
To a hotel to stay in character. He doesn't even stay at his own place right now. He doesn't interact with any of his friends or
family. It's been really expensive to do this show, but I've been loving it.
What about the Ramada Inn helps you stay in character?
Well, it's just a vibe. You know, there's a lot of other people with horns there, and it's great.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Strundle Teeth, there's a call for you.
Yeah! All right! They got my name right.
Well, final character of the arc, rounding it, we have a character who had the biggest, weirdest decision to make. The fate of his compatriots is on the line, and it was sort of up to him. We have Duder, aka John Mackey.
Yeah.
John, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I feel like I at the end of that last one, I might have set us up to get fucked.
Beep.
Sorry, I missed
that. Sorry, the beep was so late.
But no, I'm excited to see how it all goes down.
Okay. I mean, we'll see if you killed everyone. We'll see if maybe you saved everyone.
Right. Who knows?
Who knows?
Has anyone died in an arc yet? Like any of the main?
No. The only person who's died in an arc so far, I guess, was the guy who, Garf.
Wow, a lot of firsts.
I will say, the one who we used to, plug the hole in the boat we put in there. Yeah.
I will say, I accidentally described this in I will say, accidentally, the most graphic death of this podcast. A man's whole head is destroyed by a fiery geyser, and his lifeless body is holding the steering wheel. Pretty late trigger warning, I guess. Two episodes after the fact.
If you triggered... happened to my father! My father's head was blown off in lava!
Yeah, if that happened to you, I'm so sorry.
Truly, I am. If that did happen, I truly am so sorry.
Yeah, it must be very hard to move through the world of comedy podcasts for you.
Yeah, apologies. Well, let's get back up to speed with a little recap, shall we? Last time on the Rotating Heroes podcast, the unlikely and unlikable crew of Sago, Strundleteet, Duder, and Kerp took off from Scalding Springs and headed south down the treacherously hot river, narrowly avoiding being stuck in this one-horse town for months. Fresh off of completely alienating themselves from everyone in this town except for a newly headless ally, they suddenly had to rely on each other as they barreled down the hot, treacherous river with a furious Shep on their trail. They dodged hot vents of lava, barreled down the winding river, and avoided craggy rocks and other hazards, and they finally made their way to more calm waters. As they found themselves in this calmer area, they spent some time... They spent some downtime patching the ship with both a patch kit and a body, and learned about the real owner, Shep. Although they were new and fast friends, trust seemed to be at an all-time low when Sago noticed Duder acting a little cagey about where his magic was coming from. As they dodged another attempt from Shep to slow them down, they got help from an elven woman further along the river. As she took them to her riverside campsite, something strange happened. A magical slumber fell over the adventurers, all except Strundleteet, who just decided to pretend to be asleep, and Duder, who was confronted by their new elven friend. She revealed herself to be a patron of the Archfey Duder followed, and carried with her a message that the Archfey was none too pleased with his actions and how he was loose with his secrets. Duder was given a chance to betray his friends or die. After a pretty long time deciding, he tried to cast suggestion on her to no avail. 0-2 on suggestions for Duder. And, as this new mysterious elven person crackled with energy from the Archfey, we pick back up by rolling initiative.
2. Four, sorry.
Yeah, you add a little bit. Strundleteet, what did you roll on your die?
I rolled a 17, plus 3, so 20.
A dirty 20, okay. And Sago?
15.
So the situation is this. Sago, you are taken over kind of by this magical slumber, but you'll get to roll a save on your turn. I'm going to roll for our bad guys right now. Ooh, that's good for you guys. At the top of the initiative order, Strundleteet, you are pretending to be asleep. For some reason, your sort of beetle bite is kind of bothering you. Yeah, roll a performance check real quick just to see.
This guy?
Yeah, D20.
20.
A nat 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. This sort of evil elven, like, something, I'll give you this on free, for free. You perform the act of pretending to sleep so well that this person 100% thinks that they have cast a spell on you. your me's are so convincing. But as you're doing that, you look over, maybe, or you hear, I don't know if you open your eyes, this crackling energy as this sort of this kind of evil presence kind of looms over this riverbank where you guys are camping. You hear kind of this like distorting of a body, like just sort of like crackling. I was saying crackling as almost like lightning earlier, but like also there's this sort of crackling as a body kind of shifts and changes. It sounds really nasty, almost like bones crunching. But it is your turn. What do you do?
I want to attack this person.
Okay.
They think I'm asleep, and I want to wake up and surprise attack them right away. Because they're lulled into a sense of false security.
This is Strundlety 101.
Yeah, classic trick.
So, Strundlety, we haven't said what your class is. You're a champion fighter. I think you have two attacks, but... let me know how you do that. So you, you're within range, so you can approach this person and attack. So.
Okay. I rolled an 11, and then I have a rapier.
Okay.
With a hit plus 6.
So 17 to hit. That will hit.
Yes.
Let's roll the other attack first, quick. No, I'm sorry. Roll to see if you hit on the other attack. So that's just rolling to hit.
15. Plus.
So both hit. So roll the damage die twice. Yeah.
You just destroyed
11.
Whoa. Great. So 11 on the first attack. And what was the second?
11 on both.
That's crazy.
I mean, he was perfectly...
He is Strundleteed after all.
Yeah. Okay, this actually is just two episodes.
I can go back in time.
She's dead.
So as this like form is like kind of crackling and shifting, Strundleteed, eyes closed, suddenly open up and...
Me!
Describe how Strundleteed attacks this sort of evil presence before you.
It's me. I've been awake this whole time, and you're about to meet my rapier.
Strundleteep flashes his rapier. You see, like, sing, sing. As this, like, blade cuts through the air and slashes this kind of this. You see this, I think, Deuter, you would see this. Sago's still asleep. But as he strikes out at this... this kind of shifting body, you see that the kind of robes that she's wearing just like kind of tear, and you see that she is not an elf at all. There is something different going on with her body. It is like kind of like elongated and strange looking. It has almost like a natural armor to it. It is very disturbing looking, and she took a good bit of damage, but she's still looking very healthy. After that, Sago, you're on these riverbanks, tired,
sound
sort of a long trip. You know how it's like you've been camping or whatever, and then you like get to your campsite, you just fall asleep immediately. Something like that happened to you, but oddly fast.
Me.
You are, since you're still under the effect of the spell, and I will say, like, this is a kind of a homebrew thing. Obviously, the sleep spell, for all you people who want to correct me, is based off of HP, but I think that's really underpowered and uninteresting, so I changed it on my own, so don't at me. We'll give you a save. So, roll a d20 and make a wisdom save.
16.
Saga, you're dreaming on this beach. You hear the water lapping on the side of the river. You hear, you're just sort of, you find yourself on this riverbank. You're seeing almost like a figure walk out of the water. Just sort of this beautiful hippo-like presence in slow motion walks out of the water, touches your chin with this big ol' sort of like circular, whatever the bottom of a hippo's extremity looks like, pulls your chin up, gives you a like kiss on the cheek and says, "Wake up." And you're awake. You look over, you see Strundleteed engaged in pitched combat against this horrifyingly shifting body. You are awake, but that is your turn, unfortunately.
Fiona!
Strundleteed and Deuter, you hear Sago wake up saying Fiona, a name you haven't heard.
What? Who?
Deuter!
Are we talking about, Shrek? I just saw Shrek. Yeah.
The bad guy in front of you's body shifting is like, "What Shrek? What is Shrek?"
You wouldn't get it if you haven't seen it.
I know. Deuter, you tied for the role with this other person.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a roll off just to see who goes first on these. Okay. Because you have the same dex as well.
Okay.
Because you have plus 2 to dex, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. So what's in front of the table? What'd you get?
I got 18.
Okay, so you beat him. So Deuter, you see this thing lifting up. It's weird kind of armored body is coming out of this sort of robes as they kind of tear off them. It's standing like 8-9 feet tall at this point.
Do I know anything about this? This type of creature.
So we've talked about the Archfey before as like, you know, like in just sort of behind the screen, like how you made your character is you wanted to be a warlock and you chose Archfey. But Archfey is a little general. It's almost, you know, for our purposes, I don't think you really know what you bargained with.
Yeah.
I think it would be bizarre for you to actually have that information. Because it never seems like when someone's making like a pact with a warlock, they're like making an informed choice.
Yeah, no. And in my sort of headcanon on the character, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, if there's anything that you want to share about that, but other than that, but...
No,
because your headcanon is canon.
Right? I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I obviously now know that this person has some sort of like connection to my my pact. And I, like, I kind of, like, I try to, like act like I'm like, apologizing and, like, making myself small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to, like, be, like, like No, I swear, like, we can talk about this. Like, we can talk about it. And I'm, like, walking towards her, trying to, like, sort of lull her into, like, chilling out.
Yeah.
And I, as I get close enough, I try to arm dagger her. I have, like, an arm dagger.
So, we're doing no spells, we're going arm dagger.
Yeah. Well, I've already tried to suggest, I'm, like, afraid that she's, like, too powerful.
Great.
And okay. I saw him do real damage with his rapier, and I'm, like, and as I'm doing it, I say to Strundleteeth, I'm, like, we're taking her down!
Oh, hell yeah.
I think it's mostly me, but okay.
We'll see. As this creature in front of you like kind of like shifts and looks at you, and it's looking more and more monstrous, and it's like it sniffs the air and sniffs you, and then sniffs Strundleteeth, and it's like, something about you smells familiar too. And then looks back at you as you okay, let's do this. If you make a since you're trying to feign this kind of I'm not going to attack you thing, give me a performance check or a deception check, whatever you feel like.
Let me do...
Or a sleight of hand.
Oh, 18 plus 6, a 24 deception.
24. Okay, so that works. Because you rolled that, I think something bad would have happened if you didn't get it. I probably would have given you disadvantage, but so you have advantage on this attack. I'll give you that. Perfect. So take the highest of the two rolls.
11. I don't think that's going to be it. And 19.
19 hits. Okay, roll damage on that.
7.
Your little arm blade pops out. She's like, what? And then it just slashes at her. You cut her across the waist, but you can tell that it's doing some damage, but this person seems pretty hardy. After that, like, the robes have kind of, like, completely ripped off, and it is this sort of, like, monstrous... presence in front of you. It's almost like, it's hard to describe what it is. It's like almost like this kind of taller insectoid kind of alien looking person. Staring at you with these like big purple eyes. That is the end of your turn. Now it is her turn. She's kind of clicking she's just like kind of eyes darting back and forth.
Deuter, I don't think this lady's a mammal. I don't think this lady's a mammal at all.
She's going to cast. You see her like whispering. Like that kind of noise is coming
she
out
said
of her.
Whisper. Oh no.
I didn't say whisper. I was whispering. That was narration.
Look, she's not even mammalian at all. Mammalian. Alien. She seems like an alien.
What are you talking about?
She's going to make a ranged spell attack at you. She felt how much yours hurt versus how much Strundleteeth's hurt. So she's going to take. She points a finger at Strundleteeth, and that's going to hit. And she's like casting something. Make a con save.
24.
Okay. So this, like, She's like a sort of black beam forms out her mouth and just like kind of charges out and just shoots out and like, you know, sort of creates this like fine point, shoots out at you and hits you in the chest. You felt this sort of like nastiness kind of take over, and it felt like for a second like your legs were going to like give out from under you, but then through some sort of strength you find inside yourself, you're able to resist this, and you feel like this would have been bad if this had gone through, but you you were able to not be affected by it at all. She's like, no, impossible.
There was evil in there, but I vanquished it for sure.
You didn't vanquish anything.
Well, I vanquished it from my own body.
I guess
I burped it out.
Yeah, like a little like black sludge floats out of your mouth. This guy, you have avoided the effects of this spell. Strendelty, we're back up to you as you have resisted this spell effect. You see this creature before you. You guys are doing pretty good. What do you do?
I gotta kill this thing. I have to kill this thing. I'm determined.
And I'll say that there is something that is strange about looking at this thing. Something is feeling familiar about it.
I have to kill the... Wait a second. Where do I know you from?
Roll an insight check.
Where do I know you from? A 15.
Pretty good. As you're looking at it, this thing for sure is not a beetle. I'll say that. But as you're looking at it and sort of the robes have ripped off, you do notice that it does have a weird lump on its back.
Hey, you and me, same...
I know, you idiot, I know.
Same bite. Were you bitten by a beetle?
She looks back and forth at Duder and Strandleton and is like, that's very strange.
And did
that's
it give you powers too, you think?
It most certainly gave me some powers in some way. But you shouldn't have, huh?
She's looking back and forth. It seems like she is kind of making comparisons to Strandleton and Duder and doesn't seem to quite, she can't, you don't know fully what's going on, but you can tell that she can't rationalize something in her head, it seems.
Ooh.
Like. But Strendelty, it's your turn, so what do you...
Why do you recognize me? Why do we recognize each other? Why do we both have a beetle bite?
Listen, I don't feel like explaining it to you.
You know what I want to do? I want to give you some medicine for that beetle bite.
I don't want medicine. This is not something I need to be healed from. This is a gift that I have, and you should not have this gift.
Well, then I'm taking the medicine for me. One of us is not going to feel funky from this beetle bite after this.
You do not know what you're talking about.
And,
you know what? You and I seem like we're on the same level. We've both been bitten by it. Seems like a beetle. I'm dropping the rapier, and I'm doing an unarmed strike on your ass.
Incredible.
A 19 plus 3, 22.
22. Okay, great. Roll your other attack.
What's that?
Roll the... You just get to punch twice, so...
6 or 9.
Okay, so the first punch nails her right in the stomach. You feel your arm thud against her. I think an unarmed strike is just your strength score. Like, what does it say you add at
10
the
moment? Plus 0?
It says 1 down there.
So,
okay. On the damage. Yeah, 1 bludgeoning.
So, you throw that rapier down and you hit her for a juicy 1 damage. She goes, and then looks at the sword and is like, huh? But that, hey, Ben, that's your turn.
I thought I could take you.
Next up, Sago. You see this whole situation unfolding and before you. They're thick in combat. Sago, you're groggy. You're coming too.
Yeah, I'm groggy and coming too. And my knowledge is that these guys like lied pretty directly to me to get me here. And this woman who does look kind of not of this earth, or not mammalian, I would say, it does seem like a dark thing going on, but I can't really like piece together whose side I should be on here. So
I will say this is the last episode of this arc. Whatever you decide to do is fine.
So I go with Earth Tremor just to kind of try to knock everyone off balance while I like get
okay.
Like, even myself out with everything.
Cool.
I cause a tremor on the ground if it works. So it's a Dex 14
so,
saving throw.
And you're centering it under all of them.
They all seem to be like right next to each other.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, basically.
Okay, cool. And everyone has to make a Dex 14. Everyone roll a Dex Dexterity saving throw, and let me know if you get over a 14.
Six.
Yeah, I got like a 2.
Okay, let me roll for her. She did pretty good. So she passes.
Oh, no.
Tell me what happens when you roll.
Failed save takes 1d6 bludgeoning damage and is knocked prone.
Okay.
If the ground in the area is loose earth or stone, it becomes difficult terrain.
So that area becomes difficult terrain. She stands. Okay, so roll a d6.
Me?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. 5.
Okay. Both of you take 5 damage and fall down, and she does not. anything you want to do with your bonus action?
Oh, no.
Medicine!
Can I do, like, a perception check to see what's going on?
I'll give you that for free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nat 1.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh,
no. So you made the right call. You knock these guys down. and then you still have a bonus action. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Kerp's like, what's going on? I got a roll for Kerp. Sorry, I should do this. Kerp is still asleep. But Kerp will go on your turn from now on. And you can tell him what to do.
So based on my role right now, I think that I'm on her side and I just knocked down the right guys.
I think on a nat 1, you know that bad shit's happening over there and you made the right call doing that. I don't know that you would be like, these guys are evil and she's good. It's hard to tell, yeah. And you can't make heads or tails of it.
Since I'm still unclear, I'll use my bonus action to cast Daunting Roar on her.
Oh, okay. What does that do?
She has to succeed on a Wisdom saving throw of DC 12.
Okay.
And if not, she'll become frightened of me until the end of my next turn.
She fails. So what happens?
She's frightened of me until the end of my next turn.
She's looking at you, fall down, is like, hey, puny creatures, and then looks over. You're this, like, mighty lion roar as Saga wakes up and steps into the fight. And you see her go, she's like, stay out of it's not. I have no problem with you, sir. And looks at, and she's like, I'm just gonna kill these guys, okay?
Well, hang on.
Saga, that's the end of your turn. Going back down the line, Deuter, it is your turn.
I'm like pissed off at Saga, and I said, just a second ago, this woman was saying she was going to kill all of us, okay? I tried to save our lives, okay? I'm on your side, all right? She's going to kill you just like she's going to kill us. You're in this whether you like it or not, all right? So you better fight. And then I cast Mind Sliver.
Ooh, on her?
On her, yes.
Cool. What's the language of that?
See, you drive a disorienting spike of psychic energy into the mind of one creature you can see within range. The target must succeed on an intelligence saving throw or take 1d6 psychic damage and subtract d4 from the next saving throw it makes before the end of my next turn.
2d6 of psychic damage. Okay, so she makes a save. Okay.
I hate to be this guy, but he is knocked prone right now.
You can still cast a spell from
her. Oh, you can? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on it's so funny to be like, no.
You want me to die? What the fuck?
You look up, laying down on the ground, this horrifying, unnaturally tall-feeling creature is standing over you, kind of just, like, menacingly casting spells and things, and looks at you as you cast this spell. She looks at you and, like, tries to, she's, like, resisting it, and then you feel like your spell gain purchase and slam into her brain as you hit her with this psychic damage. You see in that moment flashes of things that were from her life, but similar to the experiences that you have had, where you saw that someone became sort of taken over by this sort of patronage to a dark entity that you did not quite understand. You saw sort of fluttering wings. You saw kind of nasty looking, like 6-8 legs walking across the ground, but sort of in this nasty, different feeling realm.
Right.
And you found some weird connection as you do this damage. Roll your damage on that.
Six.
So 6 damage.
And you, but then you on her next save, if it hits, she has to subtract a d4.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
So her brain's great. Messed up.
So yeah, you see she's like a little discombobulated a little bit. And do anything with a bonus action? Okay, cool. So now it is her turn. And she looks like hurt. She looks confused. She's upset. and this fight is not exactly going well for her. But you see she just looks around and she's like, okay, well, looks like it's time for me to get a little help. And you see her kind of roil a little bit, like her body kind of shifts even further. And as she like kind of stumbles and turns around, you see this sort of larger mound on her back. Strundleteeth, you're looking at this creature turn around and you see the mound on her back, and it looks a little similar to one that you have on your back, but much, much bigger. As she sort of shifts and shakes, you see that this spot kind of cracks open in this sort of nasty, horrifying way, and you see legs come out.
Beetle!
This tall, lanky, nasty-looking beetle, humanoid creature that you immediately recognize as the beetle, the same type of beetle that bit you.
Beetle bite!
Stands next to her. It's covered in slime. It's like kind of birthed from this like sack on her back. She's still standing. There's a different guy in the battle, and he looks around, clicking his just birth, just trying to understand what he is.
Beetle bite.
Okay, I just rolled his, okay, wow. Very high roll for the beetle bite. But that was going to take her turn. After that, we are at, back to the top, Strundleteeth.
You have been listening to Arc 10 of the Rotating Heroes podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on whatever podcasting app you're using. It really helps new rotators find the show, and it means that we can carry on doing it, and we can carry on getting the best improvisers and telling the coolest and the most funny and the most silly stories out there. So please leave us a review if you have a second on whatever podcasting app you're using. Your rotators for this arc were Dan Lippert, Ryan Rosenberg, and John Mackey. Your GM was Zach Oyama, and these episodes were edited and produced by me, Jasper William Cartwright.